Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living in Alignment with Julie. I'm your host, Julie Kara Hoffenberg, and the author of Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. You can find my book, my artwork, and information at juliekara.hoffenberg.com. Today, I'll be joined by E.J. Seals-Jackson, author of Living from Within, for a deep dive discussion of my book. You can find EJ at ejsealsjackson.com, and Seals is spelled S-E-A-L-S. Last week in part one, we discussed much of EJ's book, which provides an incredible background to living from within. It brings awareness to the power of our thoughts, our feelings, the law of attraction, and how we can begin living an empowered life by turning toward our inner compass. Both of our books are tools to help us navigate our way back to the soul, so we may begin living in alignment or living a more empowered and authentic life. Last week, EJ shared beautiful insights and powerful excerpts from her book. This week, we will focus more on my book and my journey, stepped into my Hyundai Tucson, which became my new home in August of 2014. This is when I began to listen once again to my inner compass. Its voice was finally louder than the negative voices around me and the fearful voices within me, which were obviously not my real truth. If you have any questions for me or comments during the show, please feel free to join me in the chat room, which should be below the scrolling photos during the live show. You can also stream and download these shows here on Blog Talk Radio, or on iTunes, you can search Living in Alignment with Julie. I'll be reading a quote from my book, Homeless to Happy in a Split Second, that I left you with last week, and then bring EJ onto the show to dialogue a bit about this, as well as the dark night of the soul that so many of ourselves have experienced. And from that point, I'll share more of my journey, what I learned, and how I brought myself into alignment. Okay, so here is what I read last week, not to depress people, but to indicate the depth of despair I felt, to help relate to others who may be feeling this way, and to give hope that this is not the way it has to be. So here's, find my little page here, here's where we left off last week. Well, this is on the intro of my book, and I'm explaining some of the feelings leading up to me moving into my car. I'm angrier than I've ever been before. I'm angry for the person I allowed myself to become physically, mentally, and emotionally. I know better than this. I teach people how to do and be better than this. I'm angry at having failed most of what I created in my life. I failed with my two businesses. I failed to hold a steady job and get good benefits that my family taught me are of the utmost importance. I failed to leave several emotionally toxic relationships sooner, knowing I could have prevented what I felt presently. I failed to stay connected to the truth of who I am. So that sounds pretty intense, but that was what I was feeling. And we'll bring EJ on now. Let me just get her. Hello, EJ.
Oh, hello, hello. And I'm just so happy to be here. I guess that's the best way I can say it. Yeah, you're right. That's not to depress people, because once you see, it does give a great contrast as to where she was and where she is now. I was telling you, I'm just so comfortable with this show. Coming back to this book, this is not, I've read this book before, and I don't know, it's just like so much that I miss the power of this book. Talk about from cover to cover, okay? So, I don't know, it's just brilliant the way this book is done, and I so highly recommend it, and read it with an eye towards growth. you know, I think I kind of just read it before. I think that that's what happened. But now that I have just kind of gone back through it and picked out different places, it's like, wow, I'm so looking forward to sitting under a tree and reading this book again. Now, having said that, let me tell you, I'm going to read a passage from this book that I think you're going to find pretty exciting. First thing that strikes me is I'm homeless. Okay, this is like the first chapter. I guess that's the first chapter. Okay, but this is the thing. Now, you remember we talked about this 14 thing. Okay, now it says homeless, homeless, L-E-S, day one, August 14, 2014. Wow. Now, you remember we mentioned to you there was the way I met Julie in the first place, I ran into a total stranger in Office Max, and we were talking. It finds out her birthday is August 14th. My birthday is August 14th. We did a show together. This is how I met Julie. So all of the, we're not going to go back through that whole spiel, but it just struck me, August the 14th, 2014, she came to Chicago August the 14th, I believe it was 2015, and she launched her website on August the 14th. So I think I'm getting that, but you get where this is going. And my point is, we don't make this stuff up. If these are the kinds of little scenarios that lets us know there is something else orchestrating this, and Julie and I and other people, we are tapped into it, and we're kind of going with the flow. They say this is God's life, a novel, let God write it, and I think we just kind of get it in sync with that flow. So anyway, now having said that, I'm going to go to, oh, there's so much stuff. Every time I look at it, there's so much I want to read, but I know we have a limited time here. Okay, so I'm just going to start here. I'm going to read this first part. Yep, you read that correctly. I am technically homeless, but it feels like home that it feels like home than less. I drove through downtown Ventura today and watched all the cracked out spewing negativity, no clue where they are filtered from head to toe with a brown bag of liquor, folks. That's you. Who does that? I feel no resonance. This is so cool. I feel no resonance with this energy, despite our seemingly similar housing situation. Okay, now I'm going to go on, but just think about that. She's seeing all of this, but she sees no resonance. She has no resonance with it, and that's so true. When you really get into this space, you see that crap out there, but it has nothing to do with you. Okay, now I'm going on. Okay, have more than a few seriously hellacious situations occurred. Okay, have more than a few seriously hellacious situations occurred in the last few years? Certainly, I have lost jobs, failed at businesses, chose the wrong careers, we'll get to that a little later, been devastated from loss of love, and watched people die or get horribly ill, certainly. Now, there's a photo at the bottom here, and I'm just going to read the caption on that. It says, this is me the day I left my house, my cat, and my ex. This is posted so we can watch my face transition from pain to bliss along the spiritual journey. Is that not brilliant or what? Okay, but here's the real deal, folks. It's all my creation, and it's all purpose, and it's allowing me to be right here, right now, blogging away and feeling more on purpose than I've ever felt before. Regardless of where we lay our heads at night, we can empower ourselves. It doesn't mean I am superior. Listen to this. This is funny, too, just throwing that in. It doesn't mean I am superior to the dude in the park talking to the invisible rabbit about his fluorescent socks. It just means I recognize the power of my mind, my heart, and all that is. Okay. I can be, do, and have anything I want in the world. What I wanted most in the last year or more is to see the world align with my purpose, connect with nature, be of service, and visit the people I cherish deeply. In a nutshell, I've turned this journey into an adventure, and it's my hope that my blog, products, and services will truly help others come to that quiet place inside, knowing all is well. This quiet place can be tapped. Okay, this quiet place can then be tapped to create the lives we desire for ourselves. So this is the last paragraph I'm going to read. So who specifically is this blog now book for? Anyone who takes a gander at that is fine with me, but likely I will attract a very special group, including free spirits, travelers, law of attractioners, new ages, nomads, pilgrims, people searching for their inner truth, spiritual philosophy, gay and transgender people, animal lovers, conversationalists, writers, artists, families, givers, alternative therapists, healers, astrologists, teachers, etc. The point is, everyone is welcome here, but I likely will not attract a conservative crowd. This is a place we can speak freely and fearlessly about anything. Therefore, we will naturally attract open and conscious people who seek expansion versus control. I wish to attract those I can be of greatest service to by sharing my spiritual journey. And just that's all I'm going to read. I'm going to give it back to you. But those goals have been fulfilled. Now, mind you, this, you know, was pre-book. You know, she was blogging. But now, pretty much, I mean, we always want more and we'll have more. But it sounds like you are well on the track of fulfilling those goals or have fulfilled those goals. And so what do you say to all of this?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them are things that will continuously be fulfilled. They're not really end results. Like, you know, my soul was longing for travel, connecting with people I deeply love and care about. And that's not something that comes to an end. That is something that is consistently a goal and consistently nourishing me in every present moment whenever possible. So, you know, a few of them have come and gone, you know. I mean, one of my goals at the time was to, like, let's say, pay off a certain credit card, and that's come and gone. Or, you know, just little goals that I've had here and there to move back into a house, and that's come and gone. So, yeah, they're not just things you check off. I think that's an important lesson along the journey too, when people are kind of on that search or pilgriming their way through life, is that they're not looking for a certain thing. They're just looking to be themselves. And we reach these points, like in the initial part I was reading in the book here, about when we go through the dark night of the soul, these are, in my opinion anyway, very often, if not always, times when we lose our connection to who we really are. Because when we're connected and when we're seeking that presence that we've talked about in other shows, or that really grounded present moment where we can just feel into anything, when we're in that space, we don't really dive down into an unhealthy area. You know, we may experience emotion, we may go through death and go through pain, but we're not, I don't know the word for it, we're not kind of eclipsed by a whole mood that takes us into somewhere we don't want to be. So that was where I had to lift myself up and out of, was to get out of a place that was just really dark. And we even talked about it in the last show a little bit when we were discussing your book, how we have all been there, but knowing what we know now, we could never go back to the depths of that despair. It can't exist. It just can't happen, because you're learning and adding tools to your box and learning about presence and just being more authentically who you are.
Excellent point. And I just want to add to that. See, that is really true. We don't have anything. We have situations, but it doesn't feel like problem. I don't know. I think it comes back to, we live in this world, but not of it. You know, these things do occur. But when we are living in alignment with ourselves, with our source, if you will, there is an undercurrent of peace. You know, like Eckhart Tolle says, you might not be happy during these periods, these down times, but you will be at peace. And that's what this whole thing is. There is always an undercurrent of peace. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. First of all, I know that I can be still and feel that presence of love, appreciation, or whatever that good feeling is, that I know the law of attraction will come in and just bring me more of that. So there's just, you know, it can be worked out. I know it can be worked out. And let me just, I'm always at peace. So just want to share that. You know, another thing I want to say here, Julie, you know, while I was doing this, there were some points that I came up with about four things that I'd really like to share with the audience, just insights that I was inspired to give to the audience. And if we have time, maybe at the end of the show, I'll make it brief, but I just want to put that out there if we get to it. So,
okay, so great.
That's it, that undercurrent of peace, hey. I love it. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, we can feel into that place for sure. You know, if people are experiencing the dark night of the soul, it's going to be hard to get there. But the only way to get there is through starting to listen and starting to get quiet and to notice your thoughts and what's actually you, or what is a thought that somebody else gave you or someone's convinced you of, and they're not always true. We've talked about some funny ones on the show, and we'll probably talk about a few more today.
Yeah.
Especially when you're sitting in your car, people they feel free to just say the craziest things to you, like, you know, how the heck do you keep your laundry clean? And it's like, well, I go to a laundromat, you know. But if I'm living in an apartment and it doesn't provide laundry and I have to go to a laundromat, people don't look down on that. They just go, okay, she goes to the laundromat. But they look at you like you must be, like, you know, some sort of filthy cesspool that can never wash their clothing.
You're living in a car.
I mean, they say very, let's say, unintelligent things or not thought out things, or, you know, I mean, I'm very grateful we have laundromats in our country. So they're not prevalent everywhere, but I am grateful for that. But you know, it's we go through these places where we're taken outside of ourselves. And in my intro to the book, people will see when they read it, is set up on a journey of going from without into within. And so when I was kind of rereading some of the passages, I'm thinking about as I approached August. So just after that little passage I read, I wrote here, as August approached, I still did not have work. Where was my work? I needed work. It must be somewhere, maybe under that cushion, over the hill, or left at the gas station. This is what society often teaches us about, quote, finding work. You look for something outside of you. I was certainly following suit and looking from the outside in. So this was something I realized that I was doing that I didn't know I was doing. I had other periods of my lifetime where I was listening to myself and finding work that felt good from within looking out. But this time I was not. I was trying to find work like it was like some sort of treasure buried somewhere and something I just had to find. But the search just pushes things further and further away from you. And it has nothing to do with who you really are when you're like, I need a job. It doesn't line up. And this is what we're taught. Get a job, find a job. Well, why don't you have a job? You got to go find one. Well, we know this, but if you're unhappy and you've done a whole lot of that, it's time to ask yourself more of who you are and, you know, aligning with work that feels like who you are, because it's the only way into the joy and the bliss. You can't, I mean, yes, you can, let's say, technically kind of haphazardly force your way to like what you're doing day to day, but that's very different than being in full alignment with what you came here to do. So that was like something that was clicking with me in August. I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to go get any work. So I just was like, screw it, I'm not going to go get any work. And I quit applying. I just didn't apply. I had a couple bucks saved. And I was working at a camp, you know, doing a little bit of extra camp work or something. So let's see, I think it's page 9 here. I said, my previous attempts at trying to find work were from the outside in were fruitless. Living in my car allowed me the opportunity to begin living from the inside out. Each morning I did what my soul craved. If it craved solitude, I hauled off to a trail to watch the fairies. If it craved connection, I laughed hysterically with friends or curled up on their couches after some great philosophizing. You know who you are, my dear angel friends. I journaled often. I asked myself what I could truly give to the world. 3 words constantly came up when I asked higher self what I can help people with. Nature, connection, and purpose. I know in the depth of my soul that through my writing, communication skills, and intuitive skills, I can encourage people to live the lives they dream of. So I'm writing that in August of 2014, and it's 6 years later, and that's the life that I live now. I mean,
I love it.
But you have to be there first. You have to be quiet with it. You have to come back to it. It's not going to be gotten from a college degree or this or that. I mean, you and I have talked about, like, you tried to do life insurance too, right?
Yeah. That did not go well.
Yeah, you get caught up by the money. Like, I would go to, I think I might write about it in the book here. I'd go to appointments and I'd end up talking about, like, empowerment and making healthy smoothies and getting off pharmaceutical drugs and, like, all this stuff with my clients. I talk about the greatest trails around where we lived, and I'd leave an appointment and I'd, like, go to the ocean and just sit there instead of, like, working and calling people.
I love it. You know, I really want to go add a little bit to that. That is so hugely relevant. You got to have a job because you got to have the money. You got to have the benefits. You got to have. Even if you have money and you did not come from this place. Okay, let me just back up a minute. First of all, we are saying that money is way more important to us than happiness. It will not get you there. It just will not. And when we spend all these times looking for these crappy jobs and all of that, we are just getting farther and farther away from ourselves. We are getting away from our own inner abundance that is available. And all we do is come back to self. Get to know who I am. And when we are getting into that stillness, and see, this is what I never got. That stillness, that's all we need to do. Just get to that. Get to that, or allow it to come to us. Relax. Allow that place of stillness to enter. And our work is done. Everything will flow from that. It might be an idea. It might be continue to meditate or whatever. But anything that does not take us within, literally, will take us so far outside of ourselves, and we just have to catch ourselves. Start with, I am the answer that I seek. Let's just start there. Just give it a shot. Let's just start there. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, just start there. I am the answer that I seek. So I think that is one that everybody struggles with. I mean, when I was going through that stuff, I mean, the dark night of the soul, so to speak, I couldn't do it. And I mean, I could get jobs that paid well. I simply could not do it. It was just, and then I realized, I'm not going to take up too much time, but now I realized why I was able to pull out of that, because I think, looking at it in retrospect, I recognize now how much time I spent with me. I spent so much time with me. And when we ask, it is given. So, yeah, that was just such a, I'm just so glad you brought that out, because we all get caught up on that one.
We do, yeah. We're constantly bombarded by the external messages. And, you know, this is not like a commercial on how to not get a job or not pay your bills,
right,
or any of that stuff. You know, as people read my book, they'll see that eventually I surrendered to a place of getting work. But it was very different than forcing it, like the day, that week when I moved into my car and I was very overwhelmed. I naturally attracted little things that I was open to, like cleaning someone's house or little projects that I did. I was hired for a lot of pet sitting, and anyone who knows me knows I'm just absolutely madly in love with animals. So it was because I was giving myself the chance to just breathe. Now, if you don't have a single penny whatsoever, you might be in a little more desperate situation. But there are some food and resources that you could be getting and still give yourself that stillness time while you're being provided for, you know, with a warm meal or a soup kitchen or something, or sitting with a friend and saying, hey, can I have a day or two just to relax on your couch and do some inner work and, you know, go outside, go to a tree. But the thing is, we can all reach the stillness, no matter how desperate the situation, because it's always there with us. It never leaves. So, you know, instead of continuing the paranoia and all the things that were not working for me, of I have to do this thing to make enough money so that I could put it away and then do what I love, that dream never comes. It never comes. Or else I would be like a millionaire, like my mentors in life insurance. I mean, I had amazing, brilliant, talented people all around me, but I was completely out of alignment, completely. Mm-hmm. So, so that is so important to consider, is just giving yourself that time. So in, let's see, I think if you, in case people have the book at home, it should be around page 12 in the copy you have. It says, today is December 14th. There we go, another 14 again. 2014. There's so many synchronicities with us in the 14. It's crazy. So,
what page is that again?
What?
12. What page did you say?
I think it's 12 in my copy, which is my proof copy. But
it is. December 14th,
yeah, so 2014. Today is December 14th, 2014. It's been exactly 4 months since I left my house, but what I've found is my home. It lives in a place that can't be destroyed or expected to pay rent. What I've come to know is that I'm on a spiritual journey and no longer a physical one. I also am beginning to understand that my spiritual journeys truly started when I reached a place of surrender. How many people, when faced with the reality of moving into their truck, will smile and feel a surge of excitement run through them? How many people will surrender to the opportunity versus grieve the losses? I will stay in my truck as I cannot afford a living space yet. I work one of the most expensive cities in the country. At that point, I had gotten some work. But I do not focus on this. I focus on the following facts. For the first time in a few years, I paid myself 10% of my paycheck into my savings account. As of my second work paycheck, I have entirely eliminated the need for credit card purchases. I am grateful for my gym pass, which allows me showers and saunas as needed. I am avidly saving up to see my dear family across the country and spiritual nature journeys around the world. I've seen more in the last 4 months than most people see in several years. I am blessed with the dearest friends, family, and mentors imaginable, and I send thanks to all of them. So that was what I was focusing on in December. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my whole drive. I wasn't looking at the fact like, oh, I'm still in my car. I'm working a job that
right.
isn't like, let's say, my favorite. But everything is it's your point of focus. It drives everything for you. So, you know, people tend to think that's hokey, but it's the whole game. It's the whole game, guys.
It is. And let me just say, you know, we say, okay, after I get a job and get some work, get some money coming in, then I'm going to focus on my spiritual journey. Just like you, it just simply does not work that way. If we are sealed, we must be sealed first, and then that other, that outer journey will take care of itself. So, but that's what we do. I don't have time for this spiritual, this airfare spiritual stuff. I gotta, you know, get a paycheck. So yeah, so good, so good. Okay.
Yeah, the paycheck comes from that airy-fairy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, but the difference is I didn't, when I, you have to feel within yourself really and truly. So if you, if you're needing work, people need to pay their bills and have work going so they can sustain their livelihood. I mean, there are people in this world who live completely off-grid and they've shunned the money system, and that's 100% fine too. But if you are living in this world, the modern world, and using money, you have to find a way to align with money instead of being pissed off all the time about money and being pissed off all the time that you have bills. Find ways to reduce the bills. Find ways to work around the bills. Find ways to live in an alternative lifestyle that you can start increasing your nest egg. There are many solutions, but hating the idea that you have to get a job and hating the idea that money exists and hating that you have bills keeps you in that stuck place. So I knew I was stuck in August of 2014. I knew that I was in a place that was not going to bring me something, A, that I would like or that would feel good, because I didn't feel good about any of that. So I had to do all the things that felt good, like be in nature, be with people who inspired me and made me feel good about myself and do all that stuff. And that part is the most important part. Then the things that you want start to line up. Like all of a sudden I started getting job opportunities that were in cities that, I mean, for example, I got a job in Redwood City. I had been craving the Redwoods, craving going to a place that was so beautiful. And it just, it lined up because I finally was open to that, you know. But you have to be open. If you're closed off to it, you know.
I just so love this so much because, you know, you're just so accurate. You know, when you ask, it is given. And, you know, when you ask for a place of feeling good, this is what I want, not what I don't want, that's exactly what you get. And then I read a book a while back, and this is so true. Do what you love, and the money will follow. You know, and that is, that's just the way this thing works. When we, but like you're saying now, it takes a minute when you really have these pressing things to do, you know, to come to this other place. But I can assure you, when we get into the practice of doing that, that answer will come. I mean, like I say, at the time, I didn't know that. But now, I just do not make a move without alignment first. Alignment first and the rest of it. Because then you are now connected with your source, the one energy that sources up. When we get into alignment, we are the alignment in God, if you will. It's one and the same. When we are aware, when we're in alignment, we are in alignment with the source energy, whatever we call that.
We are, absolutely, and to create the space for listening to it to come in is important. That I think that's the biggest piece people are missing is, you know, they're busy, they're stressed, they come home, they hop on the TV, or they take care of the kids, or they do whatever is needed, and people just don't have quiet. I mean, today is such an auspicious day to be doing the show because everyone's going to be glued to the TV tonight, which is okay. That's, some people have a passion for that, and that's cool if you're real political and stuff, but you know, it's also an opportunity to be in the state of the feeling of what we want to create in our lives, in our government, in our world right now. So the other option is to come from a more still place and to physically be already what you want to be seeing as the result. So, you know, it's just, it all ties in. But I think that that stillness, that quiet is a little bit of the place that that tends to be missing. And it does look like we have somebody who's holding to ask a question. So unless you had another thought there, I can take a question real quick.
No, no, this is fine. That's fine.
All right. Let's see if we can get them on the line. Hello, this is a 631 number. Are you there?
Yes, hi, I'm here. I didn't know if you were doing readings.
We're not doing readings, no. This is a show we're discussing my book on today.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much.
Okay.
That's cute.
Interesting. Okay.
We are doing cards right now, guys. Let's get this going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I got the connection. That must be where the disconnect was. Yeah. So you guys can also post questions in the chat room. There is someone in there right now, too, you know, just saying that her mother always said turn a negative situation into a positive if possible. So, you know, little guidance from our parents and little things to remind us that that there is always that silver lining. And, you know, it's up to us. We have to choose it, but it, you know, it's up to us. So, but yeah, did you have anything you were wanting to say there?
Yeah, to speak to that comment, which is a beautiful comment. And we can use from Abraham's teaching, and this is really powerful as well. Like she said, take that negative and turn it to a positive. Great insight. What Abraham says is that you look at, you use that negative stuff. Look at it as a don't want. Don't push up against, just be aware. This is a don't want. You can take from that what you do want is the exact opposite of that don't want. And that's just kind of a practice I have gotten into, you know, and I really look at this. Okay, this is a don't want. What is it I do want? It lets me clearly define exactly what it is that I do want, which has a whole different vibration. And if I stay with that do want, it will manifest. As long as I stay with that do want, feel good about it, will manifest. So that's really a good way to use the negative to discern, the don't want to discern what it is you do want. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure, is what we're focusing. And that's where the attention that we've talked about in our previous shows to paying attention so clearly to our thoughts and feelings so that we have the awareness of it. We did a whole show just on awareness because without the awareness of what's happening,
right,
we don't even know that the thoughts that we're having are carrying kind of that negative seed, and we're perpetuating that feeling of what we don't want. So, you know, because of the title of my book, Homeless to Happy in a Split Second, people say, oh, come on, that you can't have that in a split second. It doesn't happen that way. But it was literally a split second, because if you can imagine leaving a house that represents, you know, I talk about it in there, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, really nice, beautiful backyard, leaving a super unhealthy situation in a relationship, leaving my cat in that person's care, who was like, if you could call a cat a soul cat, that's how I would describe her. She was like the most beautiful, sweet little thing that came from an abused home 3 doors down and just like found us by a very non-accident, I'm sure. So all of that pain and all the suffering that everything represented. And then I remember climbing into the car, we had kind of a slanted driveway, and I sat down and I leaned back because of the slant. And I just took a deep breath and I thought, oh my God, I've arrived. I've arrived. I don't have rent to pay. I don't have, I don't have to interact with somebody who at that time I couldn't interact in a healthy way with. You know, I don't have to worry about whether my cat is going to be cared for or that I have pet food or where to put her. You know, it was instant gratitude. And so I just backed out of the driveway and I was just like, oh, in instant nature bliss. I just went to a trail and went to the ocean and just did the things that gave me joy. And so, yeah, it's instant. People can find that happiness instantly, and it can happen that quickly, but you have to be willing to close the door on what's not working and to really hear your thoughts about it. You can't be in denial. You have to really hear your thoughts. And that's why in the beginning of the show, I read that first passage, because you look at the truth of where you're at, you turn away from it and you figure out what's going to feel better. And then you start doing it. And then it's like a wave. It just keeps expanding on itself. I mean, I'm sitting in my house right now in a beautiful town, looking out at my backyard with a Buddha statue and this beautiful tiered yard and the smell of rosemary and two orange trees and an avocado tree and my little prayer flags. And it's like, I think about that with so much gratitude because it comes flooding in. You can't even stop it if you get into the right zone, you know?
You know, and that's so true. And it is. There's no time element here, really. When you get with that line, this happens in a holy instant because the only time is now. So this, yeah, that's the way it happens. There's no waiting in this thing. When we line up with it, it just floods in. And I mean, such a good feel from the description that you're giving. That should be enough to encourage anybody to go on this. But the other question I wanted to ask you, when did this become a book in your mind? When did you decide that this was going to be a book?
That's a good question. I mean, I knew it was going to be a blog immediately, but as I was starting to write my blogs and sharing with people, I was like, I'm going to make a series of these into a book. And then the book is the 1 year in my car. So then when I was still in my car, I was like, well, I guess there's going to be another book. So ultimately this will be three books. It'll be like kind of a trilogy, but this one's the first one. And I just felt I had already done some writing, and that was another one of my passions. And I love to write. I love to journal. I love to just deep dive into things and seeing the light on someone's face when they look at something in a new way. That's just like, that's my jam. So if I could like put it in a book and then dialogue with people, right? I'm dreaming that. And what am I doing right now?
But
I was dreaming that before. Right. And then dialogue and expand on things and watching the way people relate to their lives and watching them shift is like, I mean, that's just magic. And it's no one's responsibility except that own person who's choosing to do it. But if we have some tools, or I think back to books that I love or people that really just completely woke me up in a new way. And I'm so grateful for that. So I want to like try to drive home a bit of that for people. That's what gets me pumped amongst many other things.
I so love it. It's just exciting. Another thing I wanted to just speak on a little bit somewhere in here is like how you take such full responsibility for everything that happened to you. I don't remember exactly, but it's just somewhere in where you just take full responsibility. Like, I did this. I created a situation where I don't have enough money. So just speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, in fact, I'm writing a book now about money, about basically how people can get out of the state of being broke. And part of that is taking full responsibility because we're set up with ideas of like, you know, someone else's fault. The government did this to me. My Aunt Sally has a lot of money and she needs to pay for my college and bail me out of this or that. You know, it's always placing the responsibility outside yourself. And there's a big difference. I talk about it in the book too, in this book that we're talking about today, between responsibility and blame. So blame comes with so much shame if we blame ourselves for things and how bad we are and, you know, do all these torturous things. But responsibility just is the awareness that something has been created and that we have that potential to shift it if we don't like it. We can say to ourselves, I take full responsibility. And this is a little bit done in various ways throughout cultures around the world. But one way is in the Hawaiian Ho'oponopono. Apologies if I did not pronounce that correctly, which is a Hawaiian philosophy of taking. Sorry?
No, I'm saying who knows whether you did or didn't pronounce it correctly. We don't know.
Yeah.
At least I certainly don't know.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure. I think it's Ho'oponopono, but basically what it means is I'm sorry please forgive me, I love you, thank you.
Hmm.
And that one would say that to any situation or anything that they see within their consciousness that they're experiencing, because the idea is if you're seeing it, you've had some part in its creation vibrationally. You know, that we are the creators of the universe and we're co-creating together. So it's not the blaming of the self, but it's more like an honoring and looking at what has taken place. And this makes me think like of, it could just be like the toxicity of the waters and the dolphins, to just apologize to them and say, I take full responsibility, knowing that if there is anything that you could do, you'll do it. And to be in gratitude to them. So this is just another cultural way of looking at that. But that's the way I feel about responsibility, is it's okay to invite in responsibility without harming your internal self, to just allow mm-hmm. for the understanding that you've created something. And since you've created it, it automatically has the solution within it, because all problems have the balance of solution. So it's an empowering place that people can go. And I couldn't change my situation until I stopped assuming it was someone else's fault, or that it was just like, oh, we're in an economic depression, or whatever messages we have. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's kind of how I felt about that one.
Another question. What was the most amazing experience? I mean, there were so many. What would you say is the most amazing? You know, kind of for me, it was the one where you witnessed the birthing. Was it a calf or a goat that you witnessed that birth or participated in that birth? That was just really, I mean, I was just floored with that one. But what would you say was your just biggest hit, the most amazing thing that you did during that period?
Man, that or was a good one. yeah, I was at a goat farm. Yeah, on the Chinese New Year of the year of the goat. And at this goat farm that was just popping out babies left and right. So that it was definitely one of my most intense and beautiful experiences. It was right around my birthday in February. And I was gifted with this mother goat coming straight to me, and basically having her baby at my feet, except there was a foot fence between us. And there were so many babies being born at the same time that everyone was sort of around the corner watching the other goats. And so it was a really deep experience. She was looking me in the eyes and talking to me, and she brought her baby to me right after the birth. And
wow.
Another mom came to steal the baby, and I shooed that mom out of the way. And it was like she knew I just wanted to connect so deeply with her. And so, yeah, it just was a magical experience. And these things were only happening because I was living in my car. Because normally I'd be home, you know, maybe kicking it, watching some Netflix or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, doing my thing or working online or doing some things. But I was outside so often and in such a beautiful area with nature that I was gifted this all the time. The other memory, when you asked like what my absolute favorite was, I had actually checked off one of my blogs here to go through. Real quick, and then we'll get on to some of those points you were saying you wanted to make. But this one is called Dreaming of Artichokes at Sunset. And this may be one of, if not the best experience I had, which was camping alone for almost a week at Lake Pillsbury in California, out in the Mendocino Forest. It was just absolute magic. There was nobody there with me until a couple days in. So here's this. I'm on day 297 of my journey in the first year, and this is June 6th of 2015, Dreaming of Artichokes at Sunset. Something very special happens to me when I leave the crowds of the city and step into nature, or have delightful conversations in sleepy towns with people who are connected to the land they live on. I feel this same sense of connection and awakening as I read The Telling Room, a tale of love, betrayal, revenge, and the world's greatest piece of cheese by Michael Paterniti. I love that title. This book conveys a beautiful simplicity of connecting to the food we eat, the land it's grown on, and otherwise grown on and the company we eat with. Whether we are vegetarians, vegans, or otherwise, the theme of connection both to the food and the people stood out to me while reading this book. While I've traveled extensively through Tasmania, France, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, and England, I deeply desire to visit the Mediterranean regions, such as Spain, where the book takes place, Italy, and of course, my Greek and Turkish roots. I desire sitting with people deep in conversation who cultivate real food. I'd like to enjoy a beautiful raw feta with a wrinkled old Greek lady who teaches me her dances and her love of life. I'd like to talk to an olive farmer and watch him press virgin oil, only to drizzle it over tomatoes and basil moments later.
Wow.
I consider some people who only dream of sitting in Vegas casinos all day and night, eating buffet food with unidentified ingredients, speaking to no one but the slot machine. My heart wells up for them. They will never know the quiet joy of vacationing with locals, savoring not only the food, but the beam of light shared between each other's hearts. When I come to places like Pillsbury Lake, there's a sense I'm getting closer and closer to the dreams I've shared above. I feel my senses come alive, my ears awaken after being dulled by traffic noise. My authentic dreams bubble up from places unknown. They've been pushed into veins, drowned in blood, clamored into cells with each unwanted moment spent slaving away in the workforce. But nothing will ever steal my dreams, no matter how deep they are buried. The pines will whisper them awake. The cool water will loosen and dislodge them from their hiding places. The wind will lift them out of the heaviness into the light of day. My desire to write, travel, connect, teach, think, feel, enliven, awaken, refresh, create, and inspire, these are all welling up inside me. My Crazy Creek chair supports me as I dream into deeper places of myself and watch the birds fly by. Maybe there are a few readers out there who also desire this deep connected experience of life and would like to travel to Europe. We could retreat together, adventure into pilgrimages, sit with divine hearts and dine on divine foods. Maybe I'm supposed to create a small retreat in which a group of loving, fun, spirit-based people join me in this adventure. Doesn't it feel wonderful to dream? My little finch friends are back. I just noticed that the crows often fly with their mouths open. Does the airflow create buoyancy? Is this a breathing technique? It is also interesting to consider. I do not need to be right. I don't need to Google it. Isn't that how children theorize and learn? They pose questions, consider to themselves outcomes, and perhaps later research after making assumptions or predictions. We want to name it, define it, and explain it away before we've ever even considered it. The wonders of life for me are like seedlings. They awaken ideas that ask us to question and dream into new possibilities. I can feel myself dreaming into what it must taste and feel like to enjoy a fresh grilled artichoke with Turkish people dancing into the sunset, the cobalt tiles reflecting their sumptuous hues, eventually matching the night sky. They blend together until night becomes still, and so do the people.
Whoa.
I know I have the chills because
so
I was,
good.
I wanted to read that so badly because you were asking me, A, my best, you know, favorite experience, but the key to everything is like that dream from the stillness.
Oh my goodness. I love that so much. I love it so much. Wow. Wow. Okay, well, I will get to these things. I just kind of run through them quickly.
Sure.
I was just, like I said, just kind of inspired. And what I want to say to people, let's just do this. We can truly create a new world. And that's especially timely now, considering all that's going on. And what I'm starting with, the first thing I want to say, put our thoughts in the right direction. Okay, put them in the right direction. And I gave an example. It's like if you have a bucket of water that's really muddy, you know, if you keep adding water to that bucket, it's going to clean itself out. If we keep adding good stuff in our, you know, taking in good stuff, good thoughts, positive feelings, all of this negative stuff would disappear on its own, because our positive experiences are so much more powerful than that negative stuff. So if we just replace this with good thoughts, the murkiness will be replaced. And I give some suggestions as to how to do this. And I'm really just talking about filling ourselves up with good feeling stuff, just, you know, just like the bucket analogy. First thing I recommend, read our books. Just read our books, because now you are familiar with them. Okay, so you know what's going on with these books. You know how powerful they are. My book, just as a side issue, it will be in the PDF format on Monday of next week. So just to let you know that the advantage to that, it's only like, which you won't see again, it's like $3.99 because it's an electronically based book. So it's not a book, but you will have the same information. A lot of it, what we have talked about, you really will get that same information. So it might be a good starting point to get a move on. So next, listen to these shows that we are doing. You know, when you go back, and you will automatically get full feel from this information. Listen to Abraham. You know, get some tips from her. Listen to the I Am by Harrison Klein. Monitor our feelings and our vibrations. And I think I'm going to stop there, you know, because, well, there is about the present moment, but maybe we'll do that on another show. But another suggestion, monitor our vibrations. What am I feeling now? I can choose to feel any way that I want to feel, right here, right now. That's what we're talking about, this in a split second, in a holy instant. We can feel whatever we want to feel. Let's feel that. Choose a feeling and stay with it. And as we do these things, all this other, you will know that illness does not exist. Discord does not exist. The final thing, the present moment, and remember, it's already done. Just want to share those things.
Yeah, those were such great reminders, because they're things that we've touched on over and over throughout our last, I don't know, 8 shows or however many we've done now. And things that people can come back to. And they're what our two books are talking about. I mean, you know, our books are filled with stories and just personal things that we're sharing with other people to let them know that, yes, we have been there. Yes, we get it. We do know the depths of what people are experiencing. But it is so important to monitor your responses to it, to monitor how you're feeling, like tonight during election hours/hours and hours and hours.
And hours and hours.
maybe days, we don't know. I mean, like, it's okay to not turn it on for a few days. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
The whole world will be there to remind you of the traumas of what's happening. They will tell you, don't worry. You're not going to miss anything. But your responses are so, they're so key to the world that you want to create. Not the denial of things, but the empowered choice that you have to make in response to anything that is coming into your awareness, whether it's moving into a car or choosing a job you don't like insurance, or the aftermath of elections or whatever it may be. You do have power. You have power to respond to everything and to just be a monitor, to look at your I am statements, to see vibrationally where you are. So yeah, we have pretty much 1 minute left, but that's the game. That's what we want people to do, is just be a little bit more in touch with who they really are. Be kind and be gentle with yourself, but in touch, in tune, make time for stillness and that quiet. I will be gone for a month. I'm going to Mexico to bliss out and be in the stillness. I'll be doing some online work there, but we're not going to run the show while I'm away, just because I'm not sure of my internet situation there. So we don't want radio shows dropping off the air. So my suspicion is that we'll be back in business sometime during that first week of December or second week. And we'll be excited for that.
Exactly. Feel good now. Ask yourself, how
feel
am
good
I
now.
Feeling now? Feel good
absolutely.
Now. Love you, Jewel.
All right. Love
trip.
You, EJ. Have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.